Something I thought I'd mention before I get into the word here. When you have extra in life, extra come on you, you don't stop doing everything else you need to do. When people do that, it's actually a sign of immaturity on their part. David, when they took the men out and they went to Ziklag, and then they came back and their families, their goods, it was all stolen by enemy. It came in. And they were all distressed. David lost his family as well. Well, then his men began to blame David. We weren't following you, we wouldn't have this problem. And he wanted to kill him. So David had not only his own grief, but he had grief relative to all, from all these people. And he encouraged himself in the Lord and sought the Lord what to do, which then the Lord told him to go after and, you know, retake everything. But sometimes when there's extra in our life, people just, that's all they can think about. So what I'm saying here is, even though there's, you know, things going on and need all around us, we can't forget missions. I can't anyway. So, you know, others may have been canceling. It's like, well, we need you here more than ever, John. Because you have to keep looking out beyond yourself. One of the great values of missions is it keeps you looking beyond yourself. If a person needs to be part of family, that takes you out of selfishness. Families need to be a part of a local church. And in that commitment to serve, you're looking out beyond yourself. But churches need to be a part of the missionary work of God in the earth. And what happens if you think, oh, I've got a big problem, I just have to draw in. Well, now you're not moving faith and love. It's in a self realm. And you actually lose ground spiritually. You lose the blessing you have. So one of the great challenges for people in missions, things get tight, they become forgotten. I mean, I've heard it all over the world. And we don't want to be that guy. It forgets, but rather still remember those who God ordained for us to be a part of blessing them. Okay, well, we're going to share communion together. I want to share from the Word. I want to go to Exodus chapter 12, where it speaks of the Lord's Passover. And the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. They had been crying out to God. God raised up a deliverer in Moses. His name means deliverance. He had been doing various miracles of judgment to bring Pharaoh to the place to release them to go to worship God. And we're approaching the 10th and last miracle of judgment. In verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. And he said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, he's about to bring deliverance to them. And I think it's, I just wanted to mention this, that the beginning of time for them wasn't when they were born in the earth. It's when they were delivered from Egypt, which is a type of the world, and from Pharaoh, who's a type of the devil. That's when time begins for them. We were born into this earth. We had a beginning of time in the natural. But when we're born again, there's a new beginning. And eternity is before us. We enter into the kingdom of God. And that's all before us. He says, speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they'll take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And he goes on and tells them specifically what to do in roasting the lamb and eating it, and to take the blood, verse 7, and strike it upon the doorpost and the lintel above the door. And that upon the blood being upon the door, that the judgment that was coming on Egypt would pass over them. So verse 12, he says, I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a token for you, a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. There's a plague in the land. There's a plague all over the world. But as we're partaking by faith the work of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you can stand that it will pass over your house. The blood was upon the doorpost, which is the point of entry. The work of the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our heart, that no evil enter your heart, because you are forgiven, you are cleansed, you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the work of the enemy shall not gain entry to your heart or to your life. So this is very appropriate for the day. Don't worry about what's out there, but be concerned more, Lord, am I in you? Am I in your house? Is the blood of Jesus applied to my life? And if it is, and we believe by faith that it is, which we're acknowledging this today, the plague shall pass over you. And that is our confession. That is our faith. Psalm 91, preached on that a few weeks ago. Though 10,000 fall at my right hand, I will not fear. It doesn't matter what the numbers are. Oh, have you heard how many have died? Well, I'm sorry to hear that. However, it shall not come near my dwelling. It shall pass over my house. It shall pass over my body, because I believe on Jesus Christ and I'm a partaker of the work of his body and his blood. It will not destroy me. We drop down farther in the chapter, and at verse 23, he says, the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. When he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer or allow the destroyer to come in to your house to smite you. So I declare it shall pass over, including this building, because we are the house of God. We are the place where he dwells, both personally and corporately. Or aren't you afraid to go to that church? No, it will pass over this house. It will pass over me. And if you're in a place of faith in Jesus Christ and the work of his body and blood, it will pass over you. You see, when it comes to standing on the word of God, you need to know what you're standing on. And people that don't really have faith and don't understand what Jesus did don't have anything to stand on. So they are completely subject to the work of the spirit of fear, which is demonic. And the enemy would seek to manipulate us, that we just surrender all of our liberty, both in spirit and in the natural. Well, Jesus was the fulfillment of Exodus chapter 12. It was a prophetic picture of the Christ to come. And I just want to go to John chapter 6 yet. John 6. I'll start verse 48. There were people following after Jesus because they ate the bread. And Jesus wanted them to understand that manna from heaven was a sign. God provides a sign of his love. It was a sign of the Christ to come. And he said, I am that bread of life. Verse 48. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He boldly declares that manna from heaven was a picture of him. And he gives us life, and that eternal life will sustain us, just as they were sustained in the wilderness by that bread of life. So in acknowledging the death of Jesus and his body and his resurrection, we are acknowledging Jesus as my source of life. He's my source of life. And his blood paid the price for my sin. And I can partake of the very life of God this day, no matter what's going on. Well, the Jews that were around, they thought, this guy's nuts. He's a cannibal. How are we going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Because then he goes on to say, you eat my flesh, drink my blood. Well, we're not literally doing that. It's symbolic. The bread and the cup are a symbol of the work of the body and blood of Jesus. And by faith, we're partaking or eating. We go on down, verse 57. Verse 56, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. So he's boldly declaring this. He is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. He is the Lamb of God whose blood's to be shed and whose body's to be eaten or partaken of. After that, many thought he was a crazy lunatic, cannibal, and they left him. They walked away. Now, I want to ask you a question. What did Jesus do wrong? Sometimes people think if someone leaves, well, I must have done something wrong. What did Jesus do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. He spoke the truth boldly. He declared who he was, and some were offended by that and left him. Now, someone could leave you because you're offensive, but if you're in the truth, some might leave you because of the truth, and many left Jesus. So he turns to his disciples and says, well, are you going to go too? Now is your time. If you leave now, no one will really notice. And out of Peter's spirit comes these words. You have the words of eternal life. Where would we go? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. This came out of his spirit. He heard Jesus speak. There was a revelation to him who Jesus was. And that's what keeps you with him. It's not just religious activity. It's not good works. Who do you say that he is? And that has the power to keep you. In Matthew's version of that, he's asking them, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And he said, on this rock, see, out of Peter's spirit, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else would we go? The world really has nothing for you. Satan would try to lure you away from God into sinful pleasure. But when the pressure's on, the world has nothing. It will not sustain you. And that's what's going on all around us. Now, the good thing is people are put to the test and everyone will know where they are, whether they're submitted to a spirit of fear or whether they believe God and his word. So to me, it's a good time. Because all the deception gets laid to the side and people will find out real quick whether I believe the word of God or I'm living for this world. I have nothing. So Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. The power to keep us and sustain us. The power to throw off a spirit of fear comes from the revelation of who Jesus is and our declaration of it. Our expression of it. Our faith in God. And what we need to do more than ever is declare who he is. You know, in a time like this, the worst thing to do is don't go to church. People are all worried, well, should I do this or do that? More than ever, we should be coming to worship the Lord and sing his praises and declare by faith who he is to us and release the power of God in our life to protect, deliver, heal, or whatever we need. Who do you say that he is? I say he's my healer. I say he's my deliverer. I say he's my protection. I say no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. Because that's what God says. What does he say to us and about us? Who do we say that Jesus is? He is my Savior. I'll not fear what man or anything else or a virus can do to me, because he is who the Bible says he is. He is my Lord and Savior. So as we partake communion, we are declaring who he is by faith. We are partaking his flesh and blood figuratively by the declaration of our faith. Jesus is my life. This disease will not overcome me, because he's the bread of life. I am protected because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is applied to my heart, to my life. And this virus shall not come near this boy. Shall not come near you. It shall not be in this place. It has to die. Amen. Because we have life.